time, folks!
This is the thanks I get for working overtime.
Overtime!
I still think I got a little situation. So listen to me, sister, listen, maybe you can help. I think I give a lot of fathers my consideration, but not for me, and I will send the bit for someone else.
Welcome into Overtime, Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville, live from the Fan Run Radio studios. Musical chair day today, but overtime is live nonetheless. It's Will Stevens, Tucker Holt, Adam Hickman in the studio with you guys. John Fulkerson running a bit behind, but he will be here. Do not worry, ladies and gentlemen. I know he is the hit piece of our show strictly because of the name, so he'll be here soon. Glue Guy is on his way, but today we're starting without him. Fellas, how are we doing today?
I'm doing all right.
Long weekend for us.
Doing okay.
We took Friday off to go to the Vols game. Hickman was there as well. Didn't take Friday off because he's a working man, but got the lawn mowed, and then we went to a baseball game, and it was a pretty good time. How was the rest of your long weekend, Tucker?
It was really good. I had a really good weekend. The baseball game, of course, me and you talked about it on the way to the game. It would stink to go to the game that we don't win. We were winning one game that weekend, we knew. And we were about to be there, and Will said, yeah, our luck, this will be the game we lose.
And don't score any in.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happened. Vols lost, what, 3-0?
5-0? We lost 5-0. 5-0?
Dang,
it got oiled. Dallas pitched a great game. Would have beat anybody else in the country, but we just couldn't wake the bats up, as they say.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can say that. I guess maybe now it's not 2020, but I'd be careful talking about waking the bats up still. I think you give that 2 more years before we can start talking about that. But the Sticks, nonetheless, were out on Saturday. Evan Russell's, to be specific.
Of course we didn't get to see that live. That was bananas. I had to keep up with it on my phone, and I saw the tweets and stuff for the first home run, and I was like, ooh, okay, attaboy, Evan Russell. And I saw the second one, I was like, wow, this guy's out of his mind right now. Like, I was over the top about the second one.
And then bottom of the eighth, bases loaded, down three.
Like, this is a movie moment.
This is literally things you set up when you're in your backyard with a tennis ball and an aluminum bat, and you're breaking down. Like, it's the bottom of the ninth, bases are loaded, you're down by three, a grand slam wins the game, and boom, that's exactly
first
what happened.
Pitch, nonetheless.
Was it really the first
pitch? Yeah, he took that first pitch, jumped on it. It was a breaking ball, was it not? He got, like, it was like a curveball high.
I think it was breaking ball, and
he just hung it upstairs, and he took it yard.
I didn't think it was
he broke the ball.
No, I loved the quote from I don't know if Evan Russell or Tony Vitello said it, but he believes
it was. I know what quote you're talking about.
The crowd was what pushed that ball over the wall.
It was Tony V. And shout out Alex Comas being
Big J.
Big J. Alex Comas out there. That was probably one of the better questions from the press conference too. A fantastic answer.
It doesn't shock me at all. I mean, the way he can talk about baseball on here, mm-hmm. like you wouldn't be surprised that he would ask a great question.
And most of the time, the best baseball reporters always have the worst teams, and the Yankees are 5-10, the worst record in the AL. And I would just like to say, since Alex is not here, I told you so.
Yeah, it's tough. That's tough. I'm shocked.
Still only, 9% of the baseball season played?
Oh, yeah,
played.
Absolutely.
Like, still a ton of baseball left
but still,
to be played.
With a roster with as much talent as the Yankees, it's really shocking to see them come out of the gate, almost completely stumble out of the gate this year.
I feel like they're the team, maybe the Dodgers would be up there, but like...
The Dodgers are playing out of their minds.
But the team that I could name the most people off of without really paying attention to baseball. And like that's how you know the star power is there. If I can name a good amount of the roster, you got some decent players.
Yes.
Why aren't you winning ball games type deal?
Yeah, I think it's really just... I don't think it's a true testament to the talent of the team. I mean, I think they're still a front runner to go to the World Series this year. I mean, sometimes the season just kind of... doesn't start right.
Yeah.
But I mean, they've got enough talent and just power overall. I think they can still, like, they'll get it going together by the middle of the season.
And the Yankees are the Yankees. They
exactly.
can get players there if they really need players in the
sure.
system, if that's the issue. But it doesn't seem to be the issue. I mean, players, you got ballers. Like, you got guys who are good. There's some people who are tweeting maybe Aaron Boone should be on the hot seat.
No, I don't know
enough about baseball to have a real conversation about that, but Sure, fire Aaron Boone. That would be pretty
not
funny.
Not this early into a season. Like, baseball is...
You just is this equivalent to, like, one Saturday done in baseball? Like, a real, like, is this, like, the equivalent to a Georgia State loss to open the season? Or is this, like, two games in? I'm trying to compare it to other sports.
Yeah, you could probably compare it to the loss to Georgia State.
Where it's just, it really sinks in your gut. But yeah. You lose you get swept by the Rays at home, all mm-hmm. three games at home. Fans throw baseballs on the field.
The Rays are a pretty good baseball team, though. Like, they're all right.
Yeah, I mean, they did lose their number one pitcher from last
sure,
year.
They were still returning. In the World Series, and that's
very
not,
good point.
That's
very
not point. Just Blake Snell.
Yes, of course. I'm trying to find an article about the. Did you see where the Yankees fans were throwing baseballs onto the field?
I did see
down
that.
At what 8-2 or something like that.
Yeah, they were putting on a show up there.
Yeah, they were mad. They were upset. I'm pulling the article up right now. There was a couple quotes from a Rays manager and a couple other guys who were in the system talking about it. You had the Kevin Cash. That's a fantastic name. Kevin Cash.
Very good name.
Very good name. But he was talking about that he's the Rays manager. He said, I didn't see that many good arms, so I wasn't overly concerned talking about the balls being thrown from the stands. Outfielder Brett Phillips said he had no idea what was going on. I only played one game in Yankee Stadium before when I was with Kansas City. Didn't know if that was just like some sort of ritual. You're losing by 6 runs in the 8th inning, so you throw baseballs at the other team. Didn't know if that was something they do around here. Which, I mean, that could be a New York thing, but I've never seen it done before. But a lot of people, he also tweeted out a video of Yankees fans berating him with F-bombs, just saying, stay classy, Yankees fans. So it was fun to see some guys take shots at the Yankees fans after beating them senseless and also getting baseballs thrown at them.
Yeah, yeah, it's a tough move to be in that situation as a fan to where you're getting destroyed, so you want to make it look even worse. Like, how can we make this situation even more bad?
Burn the stadium to the ground.
Yeah, exactly.
A baseball falling from the upper deck hitting a guy on the head who's just playing first base
could do
some damage.
I hit the deck when any foul ball even came close to going over
Will,
the net at the baseball game.
Will was a mess whenever...
I'm terrified of
do
it.
Do you know... Yeah, you were there on Friday.
Yeah.
Do you remember the... It was.
Sorry about not saying hi to you, by the way.
I forgive you.
It might have been when we had... I think we had two runners on and we popped out two times in a row to end the inning. I don't know if you remember that or not. But there was one popped up directly behind the catcher, and it looked like it might be coming into the crowd. And Will had already stated that he was not a fan of to fly balls.
As soon as the ball goes up, I said I was hitting the deck.
Well, I started screaming, Will, it's at us. Will, it's coming.
I was
it's right
my,
here.
I was on my phone.
And he was, it was very funny. He was angry.
Yeah, see, I kind of had this same angle that you guys had, because there were a couple of foul balls hit our way.
Yeah.
I was just scrolling through Twitter, and I saw your tweet that you posted the picture, and I looked at my... current
yeah.
And I was like, wait a minute. I was like, he's here somewhere.
Yeah, I saw you from a distance and tried to, like, wave, and I was like, he's not even looking.
See, that's how it was with me and Will. I thought Will was looking. I waved.
I was wearing the sunglasses, probably.
And you...
It's confusing.
And you thought Will just disrespected you.
It was probably not that far off. It was a Fan-Run Radio weekend, though.
There was a ton of us running around.
Comas was down there. He was asking questions of Itello over the weekend as well. I saw Trey Patterson, GP Patterson, my apologies, Guy Patterson of The Drive also was there. I saw him a couple of times. But then Russell pulled up on Saturday. Yeah. He had a fantastic tweet, one of the best tweets of the weekend, talking about leaving the second most satisfied Russell in the stadium, which, I mean, it's probably true. That is a fantastic tweet. Anybody else was there? I know Houston, a lot of people were tweeting about it. It was a Fan-Run Radio weekend.
It was.
And speaking of Fan-Run Radio weekends, Orange and White game's coming up. We got a bit of a meet and greet going down. Clay Travis and the Outkick boys, Chad Withrow, are all coming down to the Old City before the game this weekend. I'll tell you more about that, and we'll talk more about the Orange and White game next. Don't go anywhere. Overtime continues. Welcome back in. Overtime rolling right along. 6:17 p.m. Monday, April 19th. Feeling good. Feeling great.
Feeling real good.
Really?
Yeah.
I guess I would describe my feeling as neat.
Neat?
Yeah.
Like buttoned up?
Sure, I guess.
Organized?
I wore shorts for the first time in literally a year because I didn't have any clean pants, and I kind of feel naked. I don't like wearing shorts. I'm 100% a pants. Have you seen my legs? Exactly.
I have very pale legs. Like, I always hate wearing shorts right at the beginning of the spring because my legs are like reflective.
I wear shorts year round. I just do not like pants.
Oh, you're like yeah, it's snowing guy. And you're like, everybody's wearing pants out here. It's not that cold.
Got to flex on them a little bit.
Right. He's like, have you seen my calves today?
I used to be the kid who would wear pants to school and then take them off at school because my mom wouldn't let me wear shorts. But like wearing shorts, you are not wearing a jacket. You're the cool guy. Like if you can toughen out the cold, like there's very stupid things that make you the cool guy.
You're so cool,
in elementary school. And if you could toughen out the cold or at least pretend to, you're the coolest dude in school. You got all the third grade handholding that you wanted.
It's pretty cool.
You know what I mean? And so I would wear jeans to school and then take them off and just have shorts on underneath them. No big deal. Not just a kind of a flex, I guess.
So you were the coolest kid in your third grade?
No, not even close. Okay.
It
not
doesn't
even close.
Work once you get my age, though. I've learned that. Might have worked back then.
They just roll their eyes.
Yeah, they're just like...
Not getting a lot of hand-holding these days, Adam?
No. Dude.
We might have to do a little...
Bro, it's 30 degrees out. Why? Where's your pants?
Yeah, you just look like a fool at that point.
With your leg hair sticking straight out, yeah, it's not a great look. It's not a great look. But you know what is a great look?
What is?
Taking a picture with the Outkick boys, and you can maybe have that opportunity at the meet and greet at the Old City Sports Bar this weekend, 106 Central South Central Street, my bad, Knoxville, Tennessee, April 24th, this weekend, Saturday from 12 to 3 p.m., 3:30 p.m. Yeah, same around time. That's school dismissal. But the Outkick boys, Chad Withrow, Clay Travis, school and the gang. That's still how I like am relative to time. Like,
right.
Even now, when I'm like sitting and it's probably like noon, I'm still like, oh, I would be in math right now. Like that's like, that's still how I live my life. So that's how I like I get little W's. Oh, I would be in English right now, but I'm not. Take a W right there.
There you go.
But you can take a W this weekend, showing up, meeting with the boys. Like I said, Saturday, April 24th, from 12 to 3:30 p.m. And speaking about the orange and white game, y'all. Excited at all? Like we were kind of talking about this in the break. I know you were saying you weren't. Yeah, I'm not. Like but
personally,
go ahead.
If I wasn't busy on Saturday, I'd be there.
Really? Fair enough. Fair enough. And you're a little bit bigger of a football guy than I. Yeah. I'm a basketball guy.
I take what I can get.
I love football. Don't get me wrong. But even like when I was a kid, it's not like the state of the program now type deal. I just have never gotten really excited for an orange and white game like scrimmages. Just don't really do it for me. An open practice doesn't really do it for me. But there are some people who are desperately trying to get a look in at this team.
I'm right there with you, Will. And that's not a shot at Josh Heupel, because come fall, I'm going to be all in.
Oh, 100%.
Before 9-3. But just spring games don't do it for me.
The spring shouldn't decide your fandom.
Like I told you guys, like when you try to get like extra stuff, like when you sit around and try and come up with like an activity, like a throwing competition, nobody wants to see that.
Especially when we have five quarterbacks who all suck.
Joe Milton.
Joe Milton, new transfer from Michigan, could be good.
Who's to say that one of these guys isn't that? Like, maybe someone else is transferring out or something like that. Who's to say this is a talent reason? I'm not saying it isn't.
Fair point, but if you had your guy, I don't know if you were still taking in guys. You know what I mean? Like, if you had your guy, I think you would be handing get shirts out, not accepting people in. But I could be wrong.
What if you had one guy and then... Three not great guys.
100% fair, but I just if I had a guy, maybe not. Now that I think about it, because it's a little bit apples to oranges. But you still see with Alex Smith retiring today. I read an article today talking about Urban Meyer and how he still thinks that maybe Alex Smith could find his way onto the Jaguars roster to be a mentor for Trevor Lawrence. Now, I doubt he would play at all, but bring him in some sort of aspect. So maybe that's what you're doing. You're trying to bring in a guy who has a little bit of D1 experience to get in and maybe raise Kadon Salter or Harrison Bailey. But I just don't see that happening with Joe Milton. Like, Joe Milton isn't a name that really goes, okay, good quarterback who had a decent career and is now coming just to be an experienced guy. Like I think Joe Milton is coming here to try to win the job, and I think Brian Maurer thinks the same thing with the loyalty
is all I ask for.
Oh yeah, 100%. I agree with you. I think they all deserve an opportunity, and I think they all should take that opportunity.
So what I think is kind of happening here, and granted, I know nothing. I have no prior knowledge on this situation at all. I think we're going from Pruitt, who was a traditionalist. He did everything the same way. You know, like just not so less boring, but hard set in his ways.
Stubborn.
I'm thinking, sure, maybe Josh Heupel is more experimentive in the way that he coaches.
I think we've seen that already with just his offensive philosophy and the way that they did things in Missouri and in UCF. It's just hopefully it translates well to the big stage of Neyland Stadium.
Yeah, I think he's just trying to find the best possible guy that he can. And if that takes going through five quarterbacks to see who has a better skill set to play his offense that he wants, I think that's a great idea. Instead of trying to mold guys into what you want them to be when it doesn't fit their skill set, which we've seen in the past with Butch Jones. He always tried to plug guys in who were really talented in their skill set, trying to have them do something that they aren't so good at.
I'll agree with that, but and obviously we, like you said, you don't know anything. I don't know anything. We don't know anything.
It's pure speculation.
And it's the future that we have no idea about. But I would say that I agree with you in terms of you can't just take a player and try to plug him into whatever system you want him to work in. But I also think you can't just cater a system to just the quarterback, because there's 10 other players on the field at a given time. So you got to have a quarterback that goes well with your system, as well as a system that goes well with your quarterback. That's the that's the biggest hurdle, is getting, as Thanos says, perfectly balanced, as everything should be. You got to have a switchblade resting on your finger perfectly.
Take as many of them as you can, though, in my opinion.
I can agree with that.
I take comfort knowing that Josh Heupel, he is a proven quarterback developer.
And he's got five of them right
now. Yeah, he has five. The best one will start, the best one will play, and the best one he will develop to be a
A pretty solid quarterback.
But maybe I'm just negative, but it also stings a lot worse when if you had three quarterbacks and none of them worked out versus having five quarterbacks and none of them working out. It's just you had that much more to work with and it didn't work out. And that's just me being a pessimist and playing contrarian.
But you got
to
try.
Oh, for sure. I'm not saying you can't. I'm not saying no, don't take anybody and don't experiment.
But what
you got to do something
new. Quarterbacks and they all suck, but that fourth one you could have had would have been the one.
From 100%. 100% agree with you on that. Orange and white game, though, in general.
Yeah, this right here, what we're talking about right now, is why I would be intrigued to go to the orange and white game. It's, you know, when it was Pruitt's second or third year, I wasn't, you know, whatever. Like, we knew who this guy was, what he liked to do. Josh Heupel, this is the first time he's had an orange and white game. I'd like to see kind of how he runs things.
I guess,
get
just in terms of how,
the new guy.
How he runs things and seeing what happens, but, like, the orange and white game gives me just as much information about anything as their Twitter videos that they edit and punch up from practice do. Like, anybody can really look good in an orange and white scrimmage. Now, people can look bad, too, and then that's what you notice as well. But, like, anybody can really look good in a scrimmage. You're not going to know what's going on for sure until that kickoff happens against Bowling Green this year, I believe.
Yes.
Schedules get weird with 2020. And time runs together. I'm not going to know anything, so I'll probably misspeak on that schedule 1,000 times over the summer. But I just don't know if you can know too much until kickoff comes, and I guess that's why I don't like the orange and white game.
If you go out there and you light it up on the offensive side of the ball, you're thinking, okay, does our defense just suck?
Exactly.
Or are we really this good?
Sure.
And that just comes with the territory of being a Vol fan, having pessimism built into your blood of, I mean, I've never seen this be successful. I've been alive for 19 years, and there's really not been like one good year that I can remember off the top of my dome. So when you have pessimism built in your whole entire life, it's really hard to get excited for things like this. And that's where me and you are different, Tucker. You were born in 98. You didn't see it, but you at least got the tail. You got the tail end of grace.
Sure.
You have a little something to hold on to.
Yeah, I remember watching an SEC championship game.
I thought you were about to say
we lost, but
remember
I remember
watching
the
national
LSU
championship
game.
I
was 5 and 07.
Yeah, I remember that poorly. It wasn't very fun, but that's the last time I can see us like in a championship game of any kind. Besides a bowl game.
Gun to your head right now, because I saw I think it was the Rickard Ridge smoking hot question of the day. Who is the starting quarterback come Bowling Green? Who will be the starting quarterback of the Tennessee Vols?
Man.
Maybe who you want, who you see, if they're both the same person.
This is why I wanted to go to the Orange. Like, do we have an idea of exactly what kind of offense we're running? Like
a better one than last year.
Okay, sure. I understand
that. Fast paced.
I know we're going to be running, like, not running the ball, but we're going to be getting plays off in like 7 seconds. We're going to be running high pace, fast, probably going to pass the ball a lot. Depending on how much he wants the quarterback to move, really would change who it would be. Because if he wants a guy who's going to stand there, but all these guys he's bringing in are mobile guys, I think Harrison Bailey is going to get left out.
Based off of the way that their offenses have run in terms of UCF and Missouri, they've normally had a decent, I wouldn't say a speedy quarterback, but a decent mover.
Someone who can move.
Yeah, no one,
which
they
how crazy
had
is that? That Harrison Bailey, a guy who was one of the greatest high school football players Georgia has ever seen, is potentially just getting left out of the mix here with Heupel.
I have a really interesting article that you mentioned Georgia quarterback. I have a really interesting article about quarterbacks and from their certain states. We'll hit that next. Don't go anywhere. Overtime continues after this. Overtime continuing, 6:30 p.m., Monday, April 19th. Guys, since the Super Bowl era, 1966, do you think you would have been able to tell me when the Super Bowl era was? Would you be able to tell me 66 was the first year?
Yeah.
Just because you played in it? Not you, but
Yeah. Yeah. But no. My dad beat NFL history into my brain. Fair Not enough. Physically, Fair but enough. Metaphorically. Enough. Of course.
Of course. I had no clue.
Of course. I'm glad you're being honest and not lying like Tucker. But since 1966, how many quarterbacks do you think have debuted and played at least one game in the NFL? I'll give you a hint. It's in the 700s.
Say that one more time.
How many quarterbacks since the Super Bowl era have debuted and played at least one game? So how many quarterbacks have there been in the NFL?
Played a full game or just made an appearance?
Literally what I said. Played at least one game.
Okay.
776.
Incorrect.
Give me 1235.
I said it was in the 700s. It's 721. Oh,
I thought you said it was at least 700.
Nope, I said it's in the 700s.
That's my bad.
But out of all of those quarterbacks, ESPN went down and ranked kind of the NFL quarterbacks from each state, where the worst quarterbacks are from, where the best quarterbacks are from, where the false prophets are from, where the real football gods are from. What do you think the best quarterback state in America is, just off the top of your head?
Texas.
California.
Both of you are incorrect. He is the closest. California is fourth on this list. The number one quarterback state, according to ESPN.com, Louisiana.
Oh.
Louisiana is the best quarterback state.
Do they
state.
Have some names attached?
Peyton Manning.
That's true.
Manning
family.
To
that
say
family
one.
Really helps.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure, for yeah. sure. Just based off the highest QB rating versus expectation, Louisiana ranks number one at 450.5. New York behind them at 315. Indiana behind them at 172. Oh, no. California at 153. Mississippi rounds out the top five at 109. Tucker, you said Texas was the best quarterback state. They're the worst quarterback state, number
really?
One, and by a large margin.
Is that because weighted, does they have expectation as
yes,
a part of
it
the...
Yes, it is lowest quarterback rating versus expectation,
yeah,
gotcha. Texas.
And there's
at,
so many of them, probably
yeah.
Number one at minus 343.9. The next closest is Ohio at 183.2, Colorado at 140.4, Arizona at 127.8, and Florida at 114.5 to round out the top five. But coming in at number six, the state we all live in, Tennessee.
Number six,
minus 113.3 on rating versus expectation. In terms of best draft pick state, what do you think the best draft pick state is for quarterbacks? What state has the best picks?
California.
Florida.
Is incorrect. Washington. Average draft position of Washington was number one at 71.4, and it goes down from there. Minimum of 10 quarterbacks. Number one quarterback state for starters is Mississippi. I mean, this is just a very interesting article. I'm trying to find some names attached to it. Most quarterbacks in a Super Bowl era. How many quarterbacks from these states have played, just in general, been in the NFL? This is where those names you were throwing out earlier will come in play.
The state with the most?
Just the most quarterbacks in the NFL. Doesn't have to play a game, just in general. You Googling over there?
No, I forgot. I was supposed to be doing the Twitter, too, so I'm writing some things down.
Fair enough. I appreciate you.
I'm going to go Arizona, something weird.
It is California and Texas.
Ah, well, okay. Okay.
I tried to say the ones we've already said, but yeah. It's definitely...
So we were totally right with that first guess. That's where they all come from.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
But no, just an interesting article breaking down where everyone is from. Looking at where everyone's from this year for the draft, Trey Lance is from Minnesota. Zach Wilson from Utah. Trevor Lawrence from Tennessee. No, Georgia, my bad.
Yes.
Dot was drawn wrong. It was literally over Tennessee, but the dot was drawn wrong.
Gotcha.
Justin Fields from Georgia as well, and Mac Jones from Florida. None of those quarterbacks are really in the state that's like the number one state or anything. Does that mean they fail? Does that mean they falter? Does that mean they suck?
Probably not. Probably not. Georgia's got a pretty good history with quarterbacks.
Not a bad one.
No. And, I mean, we have one of their more recent great quarterbacks sitting on our roster. So I hope he lives up to some of those expectations of guys in the league.
Speaking of quarterbacks, speaking of drafting, I have an article about the 49ers. NFL Insider guarantees that the 49ers will not take Justin Fields. guarantees they will not pick Justin Fields. The draft obviously is set for April 29th coming up, and the 49ers hold the third selection, the third pick. It's obviously no secret. They're going to be taking a quarterback. But the big question is, who are they going to be taking? I mean, obviously, everyone wants to know that answer. Fields threw in front of 49ers coach and GM last week, and by all accounts, he made a good impression. But one NFL insider and former general manager isn't sold on the idea of San Francisco taking quarterback Justin Fields. The Athletic's Michael Lombardi was on SiriusXM's The Wrap with Patrick Megger. I think that's how you pronounce that. I'm not even gonna worry about it because he shut up the rap. We'll just go with that. The rap. And was asked who he thinks the 49ers will be taking. Justin Fields is not gonna go number three. That's what I've heard Lombardi said. I love the people on Twitter who are like weathermen. Seriously, where are you going to get your where are you getting your information? If you got better sources than me, good luck. I'm just telling you. If it's not Mac Jones, it's Trey Lance. So Lombardi A. Huge ego. Sounds like a not great human being in terms of just...
little cocky.
Yeah.
Little bit cocky.
Yeah, pretentious.
Yeah.
Arrogant. Some other words I would throw in there that I can't say on radio, but yeah. Justin Fields is not going third.
Like, it ain't that serious, dude. Like...
Let me do a dramatic reading. My apologies. Justin Fields is not going number three. At least that's what I've heard. But I love people on Twitter who are like weathermen. Like, oh, seriously, where are you getting your information from? You have better sources than me? Me? No chance. They're going Mac Jones or Trey Lance. That's what I think he said.
I'm not a fan of this guy.
No.
But
I like this guy.
Oh, you like his fiery attitude towards the draft? I mean, it sounds like a football guy. A jerk of a football guy, but he's a fan.
He does not sound like a football guy.
I think he's a nerd.
Well, I agree with the Justin Fields thing, though.
You agree with that?
You don't think they're going number three?
I don't think they'd pick him. I think it's kind of the curse of the Ohio State quarterbacks.
Folky's in the building, and just his presence is terrifying.
So you don't think Justin Fields is going to be any good?
I think he'll be the bust of the draft.
Where do you think out of the Ohio State quarterbacks that have come through in the recent years, Braxton Miller, Cardale Jones, JT Barrett, where do you think he ranks among them? Is he the best out of that bunch? And if so, do you think that maybe because he is the best out of that bunch from the past years, he could be the first one to get over the hump? All it takes is one.
I think he is the best out of the bunch. But the NFL has a tendency, when you got a dual-threat quarterback, they kind of figure you out pretty fast.
That's fair. But I would say, and this is not me saying that they're going to pick them or anything, because I've been under the proponent, I don't think Justin Fields is going to be that great. I think we had a giant argument about that earlier on the show, but I don't see it happening. I don't think he's going to be a fantastic quarterback, but if I'm wrong, I'm wrong, and I won't be that upset because it would be pretty impressive.
Yeah, if I'm wrong, I'll own it on the chin, but, I mean, history...
Like you did with Gonzaga, right?
Yeah.
But
I was still kind of right about that, by the way.
You said... They lost in the national championship game. What do you mean you were kind of right about that? Well, explain.
Well, I could have been more wrong.
Good point by you. They could have won the whole thing, but you were one degree of separation from being the most wrong. You were literally one game away from being the most wrong. So I guess you were kind of right. But the 49ers, in my opinion, have the best chance of doing something with Justin Fields. Like, in terms of like what team I would most want to see him go to, the 49ers have to be at the top of that board in terms of just seeing what they could do with him. Because you already saw what they did with Jimmy G off of a bad ankle injury and still kind of being hobbled by that injury. Also, with zero running backs, they were still able to have one of the most impressive run games. You throw in a dual-threat quarterback who's coming off of a pretty solid year and maybe getting some rehab from those... Was it ribs or shoulder? What was the upper body injury he had?
It was his ribs.
That's what I thought.
He got destroyed.
Oh, yeah. He got hit hard, and he came back and played well, but...
Continued to drop bombs on a paper plate. They were perfect.
I just think if there's a couple of coaches out there that could do something with Justin Fields' potential and make a system, kind of what we were talking about with Tennessee football quarterbacks earlier. The NFL is a little different, where you can make a system cater to a player, just like Lamar Jackson and the Ravens have done, and it worked wonders. Now, obviously, you got to change that system up because it got figured out this year, but if there's a coach at the top of my list on who I think could work with Justin Fields and make a system work for him, it's got to be Kyle Shanahan. Like, I really do think if they were to pick him, that would be his most successful spot. I don't think he would have a ton of success in Jacksonville or New York, even though they're for sure probably not going to pick him. I think the 49ers in that top of the board have the most tools, I guess, or the best brain in the front office and head coaching area to work with him. I don't think the Dolphins have a ton to work with him. I just don't believe in a lot of those teams up at the top of the board like I do the 49ers.
I can agree with that.
That being said, I still don't think he's going to have a fantastic career.
I think he can have an average career just about anywhere. I think he can have a great career in a select few places.
Forky, what say you? Chalk, man, you're going to have to roll it a little bit and then flip that switch on. It's already on. Yeah, now you just got to the far left dial, far closest to me, and then just turn it up to like 5. Don't go that high.
Hello.
Hey.
You got to speak into it.
Yeah.
Hello.
Oh, that's Folky.
Perfect.
There we go. Right. I heard it.
So, how about Justin Fields?
Oh, he's going to win the Super Bowl, no doubt.
If Cleveland could get him, would you take him over Baker?
No. We already have a franchise quarterback. What do we need another one for?
Okay. All right.
I just wanted to see how big your allegiance was to Baker versus an Ohio State quarterback.
What if you could run a two quarterback system with both of them?
Where would they line up?
They're both on the field at the same time. Sometimes Justin Fields runs like a Taysom Hill role.
Yeah, sure. I mean, Baker's the quarterback. If he wants to come in and play whatever he wants, sure.
Wow. So you're no chance at getting the young, brand new quarterback that could possibly run a little more?
Baker can run.
From the police?
A little.
Yeah, he can.
He did do that.
We all saw him run. He can run.
We all saw it with our eyes.
It wasn't on the football field, but we saw him run.
It was pretty impressive. Yeah. I mean, I don't want this to turn into a Baker hype group moment.
It's not.
But he's been decently impressive from what I've said. Obviously, I was like 15 at the time when he was coming out of college, but like I didn't think he was going to be that good either, and I was wrong about that one. So like, who knows? Justin Fields could have a pretty solid career in the NFL. I don't see it happening.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's definitely – he's either going to be – it's boom or bust. I don't – like, I think he can be average, but – I think the opportunity.
Isn't that every player?
Well, no.
They're either going to play well or they're not. Boomer, one of those two.
Boomer Bust sounds like a WWE grandpa wrestler.
Boomer Bust?
It's Boomer Bust walking in. Okay. Just the Beatles blaring behind him as his opening music. But no, what Folky's saying is true, but what you're saying is true as well. Like sometimes you do have to, in sports, as stupid as it sounds, it's really hard to talk about these things and sound smart. Like the people who sound smart when they talk about sports, I have the utmost respect for them because I can't do that. Because a lot of things in sports boil down to just, it either happens or it doesn't. You know what I mean? Like it's a flip of the coin of is this guy going to be the next transcendental talent and these guys missed out on him and like getting him at 3 was a steal. Or getting him at 3 was way too high of a bust, and he didn't do anything. Like it is really a flip of the coin, and that's why it's so hard to break these things down pre-draft. The future is the only thing that we know, and we don't know about the future.
That's true.
That was a really stupid way to say that, but you see what I mean? It's really hard to sound
smart. You
got
super deep, but it was like...
Very philosophical of you, Will.
Yeah.
It was just about sports. It wasn't really about life. You know what happens in the future of life. It sucks, and then it gets better.
We got Will Sagan over here. Why do you look like you don't know who that is. Carl Sagan? The Cosmos? You know, the physicist
Wanda?
Who talked about deep stuff, about space? No? All right, well, we can just
Sagan
move on.
Guy.
He was a space guy. Neil deGrasse Tyson, right?
I know who that is.
Okay,
yes.
Him, but in the past, and it's a different person.
I thought you were just calling me Saban with a G in the middle, and very offended.
No.
I was gangster Saban. I was Sagan. We'll be right back.
Golly.
Hour one overtime, hitting the last segment. It's time for some trivia, as always. I got just some random trivia. If it doesn't work, if these are some bad questions, we'll just do a normal segment. But
okay.
We're gonna do what we usually do: have some trivia. I got some random trivia questions. Just a bunch of random ones I have sparsely in my notes. So we'll ask them.
I want to just say real quick. I feel way better over here.
Really?
No, people. I don't think we're on Periscope.
We're not. I just turned it on.
So me saying this is probably confusing to some people. I was producing. I hate it. Folky, you are the MVP. I feel so much better in my chair.
King Folk, man. Thanks for coming in. Appreciate it. Your mic's off.
Folk.
No, the switch is on. I think the dial might be down.
Far left, all the way to 6.
Sorry about it.
How about now?
Yeah, you're good. Yeah, you're good now. I'm glad we figured that out before you started trying to shout an answer to a trivia question.
I always feel so weird when I sit in this chair because I never do it. But
it's fair. It's fair. You normally make GP sit over there?
Yeah.
Bouncing. Do you have seniority over him?
Yeah.
Okay,
fair enough. I guess. I mean, I guess he's been producing content for the website, but I mean for the drive.
You were here longer.
Yeah,
fair enough.
I've been in the studio more.
Fair enough. And I'm assuming that Russ knows your name now because there's no R.I.P. Alex Olive. He didn't die. He just left us. But he gets
no
your
more
name
getting called Alex
or Alan. That was my favorite day when he. I don't know if he called you Alan or he called Alex Alan, but he called someone Alan, and I died laughing.
Still though, gun to Bear's head, he still probably couldn't tell you our names.
First and last.
He's trying, all right?
That's why he was so desperate to get GP called GP so he could only memorize two letters. That's why I'm glad my name is Will. It's only four letters, and it could have been three. But we got some trivia today. General trivia questions. First question. According to statisticians, what is the rarest M&M color?
Yellow.
Incorrect.
No, it's brown.
It is brown. Brown is correct.
I was going to say brown, but I...
You didn't.
Well, then I asked myself again, is there a brown M&M?
Now, the question is, wouldn't brown technically be the most common color? Because every...
Red.
Every
that
M&M
was, he's not saying
is,
a question.
Is you
he's stating
ruined,
a fact.
You kind of ruined my joke.
That's my bad. That's my bad. I thought it was
okay.
I thought it was the next question.
But is red correct?
No, it's brown. You had the correct answer. According to Greek mythology, who was the first woman on Earth? She opened a box.
Pandora.
Pandora. Coming out the box.
I thought that was a brand.
Based
same
off
thing.
Of the okay. Greek mythology.
As
story,
it came out of my mouth.
Pandora's box would then correlate to Pandora's box of jewelry. There's
but
the
also
paradox.
Music people also named Pandora.
That's true.
Yep.
That's a good point by
it's
you.
It's a box of music.
It's a music box.
The
because
app
the
is
app
shaped
is
like
a
square.
Yeah.
It's a boom box. Whoa, there's
there
levels
go.
To this thing.
In which European city or country would you find Orly Airport?
In Orly.
O-R-L-Y. Which city or country? I'll take either.
O-R-L-Y.
Turkey.
Is incorrect.
Is the answer Orly?
It is not Orly.
Okay. I'm going to go with Sweden.
It's incorrect. I'll give you a hint. It's a big city name. Like it is the probably biggest or third biggest city in Europe.
Copenhagen.
That is tobacco.
That's a place in Europe.
And one of the smaller European cities, I'm pretty sure.
Towers.
Paris.
It is Paris. Oh. Paris, France. Paris, France would be the answer.
Okay.
Which singer's real name is Stephanie Joanne Angela Germanotti?
Wow.
Germanotta.
Kesha.
Lady Gaga.
Lady Gaga is correct.
Whoa! I don't know why I knew that. Let's go.
Okay, here we go. Kingston, Zuma, and Apollo are all sons of which female pop star? Which female pop star is the worst at naming her children?
Cardi B.
Incorrect.
Kesha.
Incorrect. I believe there's no Hall of Batgirl, but I could be wrong on this one. I think that's her.
Fergie.
Gwen Stefani. Gwen Stefani.
I'm going to give it to him.
What?
He started it before you.
What?
He started it before
no
you.
No chance.
He did.
I said,
he did.
Okay. All right. I won't argue.
Thank you for not arguing.
Official ruling. He did.
I knew it in my brain first. I'll take that victory.
Where was the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, and the Bill of Rights stored during World War II? Give you a hint. It is a fort name.
Fort Knox.
Fort Knox is correct.
Boom.
Which country consumes the most chocolate per capita?
Country?
Country.
Germany.
Incorrect.
France.
Incorrect.
Russia.
Us as in U.S. Okay,
that works both ways.
Yeah, that's what I was confused, but no, it is not. I was confused on us as in the United States or U.S. But
yeah,
it's the same
correct.
Thing. But no, correct. It is not the United States.
Is it China?
It is not China. Think of army knives or cake rolls.
Switzerland.
Swiss.
It is Switzerland.
Oh, yeah.
Consume a lot of chocolate.
That makes sense.
What is the loudest animal on Earth? And no, it's not
the elephant.
Mike Breen
blue
screaming
whale.
Bang. It is a whale. It is the whale,
sperm
but it's
whale.
Not. It is the sperm whale.
They're big fellas and make a lot of noise.
What recently canceled toy was the first toy to be advertised on television?
Mr. Potato Head.
Okay, you said that too fast. That's a flag.
Under review.
What petroleum-based product is the tiny piece at the end of your shoelace?
Aglet.
Correct.
Boom.
Phineas and Ferb.
United Kingdom. What is the day after Christmas called?
Boxing Day.
Boxing Day is correct. Which of Shakespeare's plays is the longest?
Hamlet.
That's correct. Look at him.
Wow.
You a big literature guy?
No.
You threw out the first Shakespeare play you thought of.
No. I've taken a couple boring courses, though.
Which author... No, let me rephrase that. What books, children's books, I'll phrase it with that, are written by A.A. Milne. M-I-L-N-E.
If you give a moose a muffin.
He doesn't wear any pants.
Winnie the Pooh.
Winnie the Pooh is correct. Mm.
That pantsless fella. Everybody knows that.
That guy.
Everybody knows. That guy won't put pants on.
What's the tallest...
He's got the shirt on.
What's the tallest breed of dog?
Great Dane.
Great Dane is correct.
Mm. I thought Great Dane, and I was like, but maybe there's another.
Lateral... Oh, nope. Not going to try to read that medical term. Tennis elbow.
Oh, yeah. No, we're not getting that. No. We're not in an anime.
Who was the first female prime minister of Great Britain?
I'll be honest with you. I don't know my prime minister.
Really, guys?
Good. Merkel? No, that's
she's
that's,
Germany, that's and Germany. She's now.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I was just... I didn't know. I don't know how long their
what
time
are the initials?
Limits are.
MT.
Really? Madam Taylor.
Really, guys?
I don't know.
Michelle.
Mother Teresa.
I think Simpsons for the first name.
Mary.
Maurice.
What do you think Marge is short for?
Margaret
Thatcher.
Truman.
Margaret Thatcher is
Boom!
Correct.
Let's go! Let's go!
Calm down, please.
I know, I can't be that excited about that.
What is the world's biggest island? I'll give you a hint, it's not Japan.
Greenland.
Greenland is correct. What's the smallest ocean in the world?
The
Indian.
Baltic Sea.
Arctic.
Arctic is correct.
Nah.
I tried to get funky with it, but then I remembered you said ocean, not body of water.
What is the lowest ranking in the army of a U.S. soldier?
Private.
Private is correct. What's the world's largest ocean?
The Pacific.
Pacific. Atlantic.
Indian Ocean.
It is the Pacific.
Oh, I said it.
I thought you said the planet, and I was like, that doesn't
ocean.
Count. The planet is the whole thing.
I call all the water.
How many championships did Michael Jordan win?
Six.
Good work. Good work. Which country, I know this one, which country won the very first World Cup in 1930? We had a trivia question about this. Known for having a player bite somebody. Not in 1930. Just later on, they had a player bite somebody.
Italy.
America?
It is in South America.
Brazil.
Colombia.
Venezuela. Argentina.
I don't know.
Peru.
It's like the one that you would be like, telling, like, hey, man, if I was to say something to Tucker, I would be like...
Colombia.
No, I would say, hey, Tucker...
Chile.
You smell bad. You're a bad guy. You're a not great human being. You're...
Uruguay.
It is Uruguay. I was saying Europe.
Yeah, I was putting it together.
No, I got it.
Finally...
No, I just knew the answer.
Well, finally, what is the common name for dried plums?
Prunes.
Prunes is correct.
That's right.
Fine. We'll ask one final question. Which country produces the most coffee in the world?
Colombia.
No.
America.
No. It is South America.
Brazil.
Bolivia.
It is Brazil. Folky, walking it off. We'll be right back. Hour two of overtime rolling. Getting started right now, live from the White Claw. Nope, Fan Run Radio Studios. I do that every time. I apologize. Will Stevens, Tucker Holt, John Fullerson, Adam Hickman in the building. Adam filling in for Alex Comas. We do appreciate the hospitality and the extra microphone. It's always nice to have an extra voice, even if it is an annoying one.
Appreciate you, boys.
Hey.
I just wanted to see if I could get him to say appreciate you after I insulted him, and it worked.
It did work.
You gotta be the bigger man.
It adds a ton to...
It's really not saying much. I weigh like 115.
That's true.
But
try being the taller man.
It adds a ton to the chemistry of the room to have that fourth mic filled, though.
Especially when it's someone new. No offense to Comas. I love Comas being here. We have great conversation. He's
right.
He's my basketball, baseball, and football, and soccer guy all combined into one.
Now he's a big J journalist.
Yeah,
and he's
out here asking Vitello questions.
His head's getting a little big, you know.
I totally get that, though, because every time we get special guest appearances from you, Will, and Rick Butler on the drive, always nice to get a new take on something.
Oh, for sure. It's just fun to hear a different voice after you hear the same voices every single day. I mean, when you do the same thing every day over and over again, everyone kind of likes a little bit of change. So we do appreciate Adam being in the building with us. And you were kind of getting some tweets. Something messed up with the podcast today. Is that right?
I went back.
I'll let you explain yourself.
Okay.
I'm segueing into something. I'm using you as an example, but go ahead. I'll let you explain yourself at the same time.
Okay, so I posted hour one of the drive, and it was hour one of the drive and talk sports.
Did you accidentally record on the same file?
I thought the pre-roll was already put in there, so I just clicked record.
I got you.
So I uploaded an hour and 47 minutes of Fan Run Radio content today.
All right.
So I went back, put it back in Audacity, deleted it, got just a drive, and people, yeah.
Good work. Good work. I'm proud of you.
But there's no drive intro, but at least you don't have to, you know,
listen to John Reed's annoying voice.
Scroll and find where the drive begins.
Yeah, yeah, hit the times two. But would you consider the drive interns have been messing up recently ever since Alex Olive has left? Would you consider the drive interns to be on the hot seat? Because I have an article about seven coaches in college football who could be on the hot seat. Look at that segue. Look at me go. I'm on fire today.
Whoa.
But would you consider y'all on the hot seat?
Nah.
I think they'll let you stick around.
Fair enough. Just be careful with Bear. Bear scares me. I love Bear, but Bear will fulfill his... they're not threats. They're promises with Bear. Bear has never said a threat in his life. He's just made promises. So, that being said, the number one name on the big board out of the SEC. Do you think you could guess the coach that is out of the SEC on the hot seat?
Nick Saban.
Or under the most pressure this season? No, it is not okay. Nick Saban. I guess, let me rephrase that. Not the coach with seat heaters on the sideline, but the coach with a hot seat.
Gotcha, okay.
Because obviously Alabama has all of this extra stuff. Saban can have heat seaters. Seat heaters? Okay, yeah, no, you're good. I'd confuse.
Heated seats?
I just put my brain in a pretzel. Who's the guy, though?
Kirby Smart?
It is Kirby Smart of Georgia on this list. If not now, when? CBS Sports asked the question. This article is written by Barrett Salee. I'll give him the credit he deserves. He's a pretty good journalist and doing decent as what he does. Georgia will enter the 2021 season with the best quarterback in the SEC and the best running back room in the SEC with Zamir White and James Cook and an ultra-talented studs as well. And the best defense in the SEC, all according to this guy. But if you can't get it done now, when can you get it done? I mean, that was the question you asked with Gonzaga. That was the question you asked with Tennessee basketball. Is it now time to ask the question about Georgia football?
I mean, he's shown he can do just about whatever you want besides win a national championship. He can have stocked rosters. He can go to the playoff.
He can get to the national championship game.
He can get to the national championship game. But when it comes down to it, does he have enough as a coach to get you over the hump and on to college football's greatest, being a champion? I don't think Kirby Smart does. I mean, with the amount of talent that he's had already, I think better coaches would have at least one ring by now. And he has nothing to show for it.
Yeah, no, I can agree with that. Obviously, it's hard to compete in a super team era. I mean, it's like being a decent team in the West when the Warriors were on their roll. You were going to get to the Western Conference Finals, and that's as far as you could get.
Sure.
But it's 100% a different sport with 82 games and all of these different things. When you have the most talent in the SEC East, and you're still in these close battles at the end of the season with Florida for the lead in the SEC East and to go to the SEC championship game, Georgia should be winning the East every single year without question.
With the built-in advantage of not, like, I mean, sure, this is pretty much only a Tennessee problem now these days, but or an SEC West problem. You don't have to play Bama every year until the SEC championship game. You've got them once a year. You should be, with the amount of talent that you've had, overwhelming majority of five-star elite talent.
I mean, they were one of the number one teams in blue chip prospects when we were looking at that blue chip percentage preseason this year, or last year, I guess.
There should be no reason that they don't have. They could possibly have two rings by now. If they had a coach, I think that would have maximized the potential of some of the talent that they actually had, and a guy who would have actually kept some of these more elite guys as well. Justin Fields walked.
Jamie Newman opted out.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to. He's not holding on to the talent that they somehow get. They have a ton of these guys who are next level athletes, and he loses guys, and he doesn't maximize the potential that those guys should have while they're at Georgia. I don't think he's that great.
Fair enough. Number two on the list out of the Pac-12. This one would be a little bit of a stretch, but just think of like the only Pac-12 team you care about besides Oregon. And then see if you can name the coach of that team.
USC.
It is USC. Who's the coach of USC?
Helton.
It is Clay Helton. He's on the hot seat this year. Obviously, he's been on the hot seat for the past three seasons.
Yeah, I don't know how
according to Barrett Salee.
He's hung on. He's
I mean, they've been able to do. I really do think USC is either going to be the biggest disappointment or the biggest shock to the league this year, because I really do think that Slovis is a very good quarterback. I really do think that he'll have a good time tearing up the Pac-12, but I also could see them going 2-10. Like I could see them having a terrible season, or I could see them going 10-2 and going to the playoff and getting busted up by an Alabama or something like that. Like, I don't think they're going to win anything of importance, but I do think they're going to have a pretty solid team this year. But the Trojans have become an afterthought for the national championship, and they are laughingstock at best, is according to Barrett Salee.
Clay Helton was one of the few people who actually benefited from COVID, because I think if you would have gave him a full fleshed out season, he would have probably found a way to screw it up. I mean, in the last three years, he's 5-7, 8-5, and then last year went 5-1 in a 6-game season. So that 5 wins kept him. I mean, you don't fire a guy going 5-1, even if you only play 6 games. He's hanging on. I don't think they'll have that sort of win percentage next year at all, and I think it really just extended his coaching stay one more year. He got an extra year pay.
And if they're able to find a way to win something, he could turn this into more years.
Yes, but if he had a full season last year, the likelihood of him blowing it up in the second half and getting fired was very real.
I don't know, man. Like, they were playing good football, and I'm telling you, that Slovis kid is really good at throwing the football.
Sure.
He's real good. And speaking of that, I was looking on this website. It also has the 2021 Heisman Trophy winner odds. Who do you think is the number one guy at plus 500 right now for the Heisman? Can you think of anybody?
I'm trying to get my brain back into college football and remember who's gone, who's staying.
Give you a hint, he did play last year in the Big 12.
Spencer Rattler.
It is Spencer Rattler, plus 500.
He won't win.
Next guy on the list, another quarterback, obviously.
Out of what conference?
The SEC.
JT Daniels.
Nope. He is fourth on this list at plus 1,000.
Who's the Florida guy?
Is it Bryce Young?
It is Bryce Young, who got the MVP of the Crimson and White game, the Crimson and Tide game, whatever they call
it.
He won the MVP. Apparently, he impressed. Which, gotcha. How are you not going to impress in a scrimmage? You got to impress in a scrimmage. Number three, same type of deal as Bryce Young. Powerhouse school, backup quarterback.
Uwagalele.
DJ Ukulele.
Yep, that's him.
That's him.
Rounding out the rest of that, tied with JT Daniels at 1,000 is Sam Howell at plus 1,000. De'Aaron King is at plus 1,400. Kadon Slovis from USC is at plus 2,000. Jaden Daniels at plus 2,500. Bijan Robinson at plus 25,000. And McKenzie Milton at plus 25,000 as well, to round out the rest of that top bunch right there. So, based off that, he's in good company right there. Like, those are all quarterbacks who, I guess, you. Maybe not Spencer Rattler, because we haven't seen a lot. Maybe those two backups we haven't seen a lot. But, like, those are guys who you presumably think have NFL futures or doing something. So to be at least associated with those names, such as a Sam Howell and guys like that, like, it's a good company to be in preseason as well. And they also have college football winners for 2022. Quickly, the top two are?
The odds for?
College football winner, the championship
Alabama,
winner.
Clemson.
Clemson and Alabama are the two. What's the third one?
Ohio State.
Ohio State is the third one. Fourth one, what you would expect as well.
Oklahoma.
Oklahoma is there. Number five, team we were just talking about, not USC.
Georgia.
Georgia is right there. A&M around, next to them at plus 2,000. Georgia's at plus 1,000. Alabama is at plus 400. Clemson at plus... Alabama's at plus 300. Clemson's at plus 400. Ohio State plus 700. Oklahoma plus 800. Iowa State at plus 2,500, Florida at plus 2,500, Notre Dame at plus 2,500, Texas at plus 2,800, and then USC falls right there at plus 3,000. So, not again, bad company to be in at all. Next on the list, we just talked about this team, talked about their quarterback, talked about their chances at winning the national championship as well out of the Big 12. It is on the hot seat.
Oklahoma.
Lincoln Riley of Oklahoma. Sitting on the hot seat. Riley took over the Sooners in 2017 with one goal in mind: win the national championship. And yeah, he's led the team to the CFP 3 of his 4 years. But it's a double-edged sword, because if you can get there, you should win it. At least out of those 3 years, you have yet to win anything of merit from that. So basically, just saying, like, how many times can you go to the playoff and not win before it's a what have you done for me lately situation down there in Oklahoma? I don't see them blowing it up after the season, but something to keep your eye on.
Yeah, because I mean, at a certain point, you got to look at it and say, okay, if we fire him, then who do we hire? who do you hire that's going to be better
and
than
that? Was the same scenario with Stoops' campaign coming to a close, and they found Lincoln Riley on their staff, and they knew what they were going to do. So maybe they have a plan in place, because normally schools like that are good about getting a plan in place beforehand. Unlike, I don't mean to take shots at ourselves, but Tennessee normally when we do something doesn't necessarily have the best plan in place.
We like to shoot from the hip.
Yes, that's we love doing that. So
I would not complain though about going to the playoffs every year.
Oh, yeah. For sure not. But at the same time, they had a plan in place of who they wanted to hire, and they were able to get Lincoln Riley into the system flawlessly with Baker Mayfield's first year. Right, 2017. Am I off by 1 year?
You're off by a year. If it was Baker, Stoops was still coaching when they came to Knoxville.
Fair enough. I guess. He got.
He got
Kyler.
Yeah,
Kyler. 2018 draft. Yeah, Kyler. My bad. Mm-hmm. Kyler's first year, not Baker's first year. Next on this list, name everyone knows is going to be on this list. Which is like the, if I would have told you, hey, I'm going over coach's hot seats, what is the number one name in your brain? Because it's this guy, in my opinion.
Out of what conference?
Big Ten.
Oh, Jim Harbaugh.
It is Jim Harbaugh. Mm. Jim Harbaugh of Michigan getting an extension this summer, but still somehow on the hot seat. The extension made sense. Like everyone wanted to just like read the headline and be like, oh, Michigan extended Jim Harbaugh, ha, ha, ha. They played him, if anything. Like they set him up to where like you really got to get it done now or you're over. Like, that's really how they set it up. And I think it's time's ticking. I really do think Jim Harbaugh's out soon rather than later. Anybody got anything to say? I mean,
that's just
you would be the one who had anything to say.
Would you be okay with them keeping him? Would you like them to keep Harbaugh?
No.
You want it? Okay.
He's just bad. It doesn't even make the Ohio State-Michigan rivalry fun anymore because we just beat him every year. It's not even a rivalry. We just
I would never complain about beating Florida every year, just for the record. We could beat them 100-0 for the next 200 years, and I'll still be just wooing along or like the Rocky Top.
I wouldn't want Vanderbilt to go hire a good coach and make the series competitive. God, I would rather just poop on Vandy every year. It's very fun to poop on Vandy.
Yeah.
No, I want it to be semi-competitive.
Because right now, you want to feel good about what you do?
Yeah, I mean, we're beating Jim Harbaugh. Like, okay.
Right. I understand that.
It's not a flex.
Justin Fuente of Virginia Tech is also on this list. Jeff Brohm of Purdue and Scott Frost of Nebraska round out the rest of the seven on this list. Any names that you might have been expecting to hear or think maybe could be on the hot seat? Any schools that really need to perform this year? Maybe Notre Dame, yeah. Brian Kelly. I mean, they impressed last year with how they were able to perform in the playoff. But, I mean, you've been there a couple of times after having bad seasons. You get back there. If you don't get back there again this season, I would say maybe you start putting a lighter underneath his chair. Maybe warm it up a little bit. Anybody else off the top of y'all's domes?
It's like Chip Kelly, kind of, in a way. Well, this is going to be, what, his fourth year at UCLA?
Oh, I completely forgot Chip Kelly existed.
Most people do.
Even Chip Kelly sometimes. I mean, that does make sense. When you said Chip Kelly, I went, Oregon? No. Eagles? No.
He has flown under the radar at UCLA.
I guess it's a good thing if you're Chip Kelly, but also a bad thing if you're UCLA football. News.
Yeah.
I don't know. UCLA football, it would make sense, obviously, if you're losing a lot to be on the hot seat, but it's also like, I don't know how much you can call for a hot seat when it's UCLA football. Like you kind of take what you can get when you're UCLA.
Yeah, expectations are the floor. In recent years, at least.
Six and four?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, six and four is not the floor.
My bad.
Yeah, it was.
What is the floor this season?
Oh, you want the floor already? You want me to go ahead and lay out the floor?
Yes.
This early?
I mean, you were highly mistaken last year.
I can set the floor, okay.
And I would just love to say I told you so again, because that was a very fun segment of just me saying, hey, I told you so.
Yeah. I'm going to go 7-5. I'm going to go 7-5.
7-5 is where we ride.
Mm, we'll workshop
seven,
that.
7-5 will get you high.
No.
I don't know. We can workshop this. But I think we're getting 7 wins.
7-5, the perfect size.
No. That ain't it.
7-5, and I won't want to die.
7-5, and I'd rather be alive.
Are you dead?
No, but if we go below 7-5, I'd want to be dead.
Right.
So.
Okay. Saying that you'd rather be alive implies that
you're dead.
You're not.
Well, I'm just assuming we're not making 7-5.
Okay.
So, sure. I'm assuming, yeah. Guess just bounce around real quick before we hit this break. Alex Smith, retiring.
Yeah, legend. One of my favorite Chiefs of all time. He was a great mentor to Patrick Mahomes. Without Alex Smith, Patrick Mahomes is not the quarterback that he is today.
Do you really believe that?
Yes, I really do. Like, having a year underneath a veteran quarterback who is very safe and technically sound and doesn't make a lot of mistakes is very important to a young quarterback going into the NFL. I'm not saying that Alex Smith made Patrick Mahomes this insane circus passer. I'm just saying that it probably helped him a ton in decision-making.
I don't disagree. It probably helped him a ton, but I think no matter where Patrick Mahomes goes, I think Patrick Mahomes is Patrick Mahomes. But continue.
I mean, just coming out of the gate as his first year starting, playing at the level he did, throwing 50 touchdowns, I think having a year with just the mentorship and guidance of Alex Smith and Andy Reid, that's a recipe to make a fantastic quarterback in the NFL, I think.
I don't disagree with that. I just think he probably would have thrown 40 instead of 50 if he would have gone somewhere else. Like, I just think Patrick Mahomes is Patrick Mahomes. But Smith, out.
Toughest guy in the NFL, I think. Okay, right?
Now we're just stretching it to compliment him.
Who's tougher?
I don't know, the offensive lineman or defensive lineman who just bang every single day. Alex Smith is not the toughest NFL player.
Snapped his leg and came back.
Okay, dumbest.
Could barely walk. Almost died. Had a cage around his leg for months.
You're just basically.
He's the most courageous.
Yeah, sure. I'm not trying to speak ill of the dead, even though he's not dead. He just left the league, but like, I wouldn't consider that tough. That's just not a great decision. It worked out in the long run, but like, that was the biggest concern was, oh my God, why is he playing? Obviously nothing bad happened, but courageous would be a good word because it has positive connotation, but I don't know. I liked watching Alex Smith play. He was one of my favorite quarterbacks. I liked his time more with the 49ers when he was pretty young. He was an exciting guy out of Utah.
Right.
One of the best Mormons ever to play.
He's kind of responsible for revamping Coach Reed's career too in a little bit.
Yeah, no, he was a massive part in that beginning rumblings of what the Chiefs are today. Alex Smith, the Chiefs aren't where they are today.
Alex Smith is Andy Reid's best PR person ever invented.
Absolutely.
Because Andy Reid, all the talk about Andy Reid was, yeah, I guess he can make a quarterback good. Let's see what he does with Alex Smith. And Alex Smith, I don't want to say, didn't have a great stretch from his time in 49ers to his time with the Chiefs, because I think he played better with the Chiefs. Statistically, you could argue that, but also just based off the eyeball game, you could tell that. But it wasn't that giant step. You were like, okay, Andy Reid is the true quarterback whisperer, or he has fixed his problems or anything like that. But just being able to win games, being able to stay in the system, and then obviously Patrick Mahomes falling in, I don't want to say falling into your lap because you studied him. He was your guy at, what, 7 or whatever y'all ended up picking him
right
at.
Around there.
But, I mean, he really.
I think
really,
we took him at, like, yeah.
I don't think Andy Reid has the success that he has without Alex Smith. Yeah, what he said, revamping his career, really changing the image around Andy Reid.
Yeah. Alex Smith, huge part of my NFL fandom. He's been behind a lot of great nights.
Who do you think is more likely to sign with a new team, Julian Edelman or Alex Smith?
Edelman.
Because there was an article talking in Urban Meyer. I don't want to say it was Urban Meyer, but there were people talking about Urban Meyer wanting to get Alex Smith on the roster. And that was a conversation we had beforehand, talking about exactly what we were talking about just a second ago with the quarterback in front of him.
Yes.
They were talking about trying to get Alex Smith in there to not play in front of Trevor Lawrence, obviously, but at least be there to be a mentor. Mm-hmm. So you could see that happen with who is the guy? The anti-masturbation guy. The guy who didn't play football this year. He played football, but he played from his house for the Eagles.
Josh McCown.
He's the guy who said like watching getting on the internet is like getting a flight without knowing the ticket. Like, you could end up in Minnesota before you blink or something like that, which is one of my favorite quotes of all time. But I mean, you could see a role like that where you're not necessarily a coach, but you're also not necessarily a player. You're just there to help facilitate things and get these guys ready to go. So I wouldn't hate that. Like, the longer Alex Smith is in the game, the happier I am. I like Alex Smith. I didn't mean to speak ill of the dead or anything when I was insulting him about coming back from his leg injury, but toughest is a stretch, but I do love Alex Smith.
I mean,
gets my blood going.
Sure.
Cardinals take a 1-0 lead over the Nats in the top of the second. Will Stevens' pick is still alive.
Wow. Incredible.
Just big brain on Will Stevens.
Yeah, big baseball guy over here, Will Stevens. Knows it all.
We can start picking games. I guarantee you I have a better record than the baseball guys. Sometimes in 162 games, what you need is just gut instinct, and that's it.
Right. No. I think me and Folky could pick MLB games better than you could.
Cardinals aren't going
to
win this game.
Really? Would you like to bet?
The Cardinals aren't winning this game.
No, not the Cardinals winning this game or not, because I really could care less about the Cardinals. I just picked the Cardinals because you asked me, and I knew they were the rival.
But
do a little pick-off.
Okay.
That's a baseball term.
How about next week we all...
What about Friday? We all pick the weekend's games. Or Thursday, and we pick Friday's games and break them down on Friday, something like that.
Sure, we can.
Reds are going undefeated.
We could pick the rest of the games for this entire week.
We could.
And then on Friday, break them down.
Let's pick the rest of the games tonight. See how we all do, and then get this segment started for tomorrow when we pick the rest of the week.
Okay.
Because I don't think we have enough time
for
this show.
We picking in this next segment or no?
Yeah, let's go ahead. All right, pull up the schedule.
Okay.
We'll start picking games. Adam, can Adam be on my team?
Sure.
If you and Folky are on a team,
all right,
me and Adam are on a team.
All right, let's do it.
All right.
We'll be right back.
All right.
Welcome back in. Overtime, Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville. Live from the Fan Run Radio studios, Will Stevens, Tucker Holt, John Fulgerson, Alex Comas. No, Alex Comas, Adam Hickman. It's force of habit, man. It's force of habit. Stick with me. At least I didn't call you Alan.
That's true.
As long as I don't call you Alan, I think we're good. I think I'm better at this than Russ is in just terms of name, not hosting a radio show, just in terms of getting names correct.
I was about to say, hot take. Woo! He'll start coming for you if you start like that.
No, he won't.
All right.
Yes, he will.
You guys ready to do some picks? Me and Folky to show our absolute baseball prowess.
I don't even know who's playing tonight, and I still...
You've not pulled up the schedule?
No, but that's all right.
Okay.
You have your notes ready to take notes on what games we pick?
Yes.
Yes, he does. You questioning Folky on his notation?
I got the notebook.
Of course not.
We know. He's pretty thorough in his note-taking ability. He constantly... Every main point of the show is hit every time.
Except for today's.
He missed most of the show.
But every other day? Absolutely.
Pretty good. All right. You want me to introduce the first game?
Not really.
Okay.
Because I have a quick message about FanDuel Sportsbook.
Oh.
We're talking about baseball. We're talking about picking games. Are y'all not excited that baseball is back? I mean, this weekend was the
Absolutely.
First baseball game I went to and sat in full. I went to one Smokies game where I threw the first pitch out and left before the first inning started. But, like, this is the first baseball game I went to. I read an article today that the MLB, based off their streaming numbers, has had the biggest two-week period of viewers alone and also the biggest seven-day viewership alone as well over the past 2 weeks. Like, this is the most people have watched baseball. I mean, you can't say you're not excited about baseball being back.
No.
And there's nothing better than great weather, a cold drink, and a little action on FanDuel Sportsbook. If you've never bet on baseball before, now is the perfect time to give it a shot. FanDuel is letting new users swing for the fences risk-free. That's right. You can be a power hitter with no risk of getting struck out. You'll get up to one. Did I do that right? That was not scripted. I was just trying to throw some baseball terms. I'm right? Yeah, let's go.
Yeah.
I'm going to just keep sparsely throwing in baseball terms until I mess one up.
Right.
But they're letting you swing for the fences risk-free. You'll get up to $1,000 back in bonus site credit if your first bet does not win. You heard that right. Up to $1,000 back in site credit if your first bet does not win. And if you already have an account, you can get up to $25 back each day in site credit if your same game parlay bet falls one leg short. This is a way you can combine multiple baseball bets for an even bigger win all season long. There's a reason FanDuel is America's number one sports book in America. The number one. It's because they got a simple app to use. They've got great odds on all different betting markets and a unique fun bet type such as that same game parlay bet that is only available on FanDuel Sportsbook. When you win, they'll also get your money in as little as 24 hours. So just download that FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up using promo code OVERTIME to get in on the action. Don't get tossed. Sign up for FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code OVERTIME. Do you use that one right,
sure,
too?
Man. Yeah.
Let's go. Must be 21 and older, present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only for risk-free bet. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Restrictions apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789. Again, call the TN red line, 1-800-889-9789. Now, let's pick some games. Speaking of FanDuel Sportsbook, we're picking games. Responsibly, if you believe in any of these picks, go ahead, throw down some money. Maybe use that risk-free option, but I'd just go ahead and say, if you're doing these picks with us, be listening to the A&W team and not the F&T team.
Okay.
Who wants to start?
Me and Folky can take the board. We got Rays Royals tonight, Folk. 8-10. Mm-hmm. Got Josh Fleming, Danny Duffy on the mounds.
I have a question before we start, actually. Do you want to all of us pick these four games, or do we each get to choose two teams that we think are going to win? So we each only have two games that we pick, but that way we can't pick the exact same game or just pick different sides or something like that. Or we can go all four. It's up to y'all.
I would think go all four.
Sounds good.
Yeah, sure.
I would think go all four. Folky, how are you feeling about Rays Royals?
Leaning Rays.
I was leaning Rays to begin with. So to hear that you're leaning Rays makes me feel nice.
Duffy is 2-0 with a 0.75 ERA, which means he's due for a bad game.
Yep.
And that game's going to be tonight.
Josh Fleming about to get his first win tonight?
Yep, all sure right. is.
Love it. Rays for team TF.
Rays locking it in. Adam, how do we feel about this game? Kansas City, Tampa Bay, two average at best cities.
See, a couple of months ago in the Super Bowl, I was going Tampa Bay.
Right.
Tonight, Royals. Take it to the bank.
We're going Royals.
Okay.
Sounds good, man. What's that? Who sings that song? It's called Royals.
Lord.
What?
What?
Yeah.
L-O-R-D-E.
Lord. Oh, Randy Marsh. Oh. Okay, yeah, no, my bad. Caught me off guard right there.
Randy Marsh, where did that name come from?
South Park has a bit where he is Lord. I am Lord, la, la, la.
Oh, okay.
And he does that a lot. So when you said Lord, it didn't click.
Gotcha.
That's a real musician.
That's a person.
Yeah, I forgot that South Park kind of ruined that part of my brain for me. We get the first pick in this one. Rangers, Angels. Man, Adam, I've been a proponent my whole entire life, all 19 years, that as soon as Mike Trout gets in the league, he's overrated. And that happened around my 15th birthday. Mike Trout gets in the league, and I said, hey, that man's overrated. He's been overrated since day one. I'm going Rangers.
I don't think Mike Trout's overrated. I think the Angels always suck around him, so I agree with you.
Rangers it is.
How you feeling, Folk?
The opposite of what they said.
Yeah.
Pretty much everything they said. He's not overrated.
Dylan
Angels
Bundy's a pretty solid pitcher.
Are playing well so far this year. They're 8-5.
5-2 at home. They play well at home.
And the Rangers are on the road, so they're not going to have that full stadium anymore.
Yep.
The Angels are already used to that.
I believe the Angels will win this baseball game.
Absolutely.
Boom. Write it down.
I'm still writing the word Rangers, so it'll be a minute, but okay. I will write it down.
Gotcha.
You can't just put an A and an R.
Okay, well.
Nope.
We got this next game. You got the Dodgers. You got the Mariners. Dodgers are 13-3. Mariners are 10-6. Mariners aren't that bad this year. They're not that bad. But the Dodgers are kind of a super team. I believe in the Dodgers. Dustin May's pretty good. 1.74 ERA.
Who won the series between the Padres and the Dodgers this weekend?
Won the series? I believe the Padres actually won the series.
Really?
I think they won the series.
The Dodgers are 13-3. Did all of those losses come to the Padres?
I thought the Padres took the series. I don't think they swept them. Maybe two of them? It was just a three-game series. Yeah. They did not take the series. They took
the series.
They lost the Sunday game.
They split it, didn't they?
No. They only played three games.
The reason I ask is because there was this is the new rivalry in baseball. People are talking about that. I was listening to, I think it might have been Outkick after our show, and they were talking about how it is nice to have a new rivalry in baseball because baseball is the most traditionalist sport and also the oldest sport. Like, there's just the rivalries in baseball. You know them, and it's because it's just been played for so long. So it's nice to see one brewing in the West Coast area. And Blake Snell and Trevor Bauer kind of were chirping each other on the internet the other night. Blake Snell said, oh my God, it looked like someone just crashed on top of the mound. He said, it was just the biggest hole. So Bauer, we got to work on that. I know you got to get grip on the ground or whatever, but man, my foot was killing me. Talking about Bauer doing whatever, I guess, to the mound. What is that? You're not supposed to dig a hole? What's the deal with the mound, Folky?
What do you mean?
Okay, good talk. I don't know. That's why I asked you.
Oh, like, there's not supposed to be a hole in it. Different pitchers have different preferences on how they adjust when they're on the mound.
Fair enough. Bauer then took to Twitter, tweeting a video just whispering, it was your toe that made the hole, homie. And that was how the video went.
Mm.
So.
Okay.
Oh, and then he also then quote tweeted Manny Machado swinging and a miss on a slider that he threw in the dirt and just said, this deserves a quote tweet. So some rivalry brewing right there. I don't hate it at all.
Yeah, it's nice to have a fiery little rivalry. But Dodgers winning, for the record. Just on in the game we're talking about now, Dodgers.
Okay.
Adam, would you...
do you agree? This is a team.
Yeah, here. Yeah.
Well, I can change my pick if you can convince me.
Okay. The Dodgers are 13-3.
Okay.
They're not going to have single-digit losses for the rest of the season.
Right.
They're going to have to go on a losing streak at some point.
Mm-hmm.
The only question is, when does that happen?
Yes.
Adam, it's not tonight, is it?
No.
Dodgers winning this ballgame?
I hate to agree with them because I like just having everybody, you know, put against heads, each other, but... I feel like this is the one you got to agree with them on.
Yeah, go ahead and pencil in the Dodgers for A&W right there.
Will do.
Folky, are you saying Dodgers for our team? We haven't locked in our pick yet.
Yeah, we'll go Dodgers.
Okay, all right.
In the next game, Adam, I really like the Brewers in this one, man. But if you can convince me otherwise, which won't take a lot of convincing, all you have to do is say, I like the Padres, and I'll go with you. But I like the Brewers in this one right now.
I'll rock with the Brewers.
Let's go. Rocking with the Brewers. You'll have to drink all the beer, but...
I don't even remember who I was talking with about the Brewers like an hour ago.
I think it was Folky.
I think it was.
It had to be someone in this room.
Yeah, it was definitely Folky.
I hope, because if not, you're seeing things. We're the only people that have been in the studio for the past hour.
The Padres just got out of the series with the Dodgers that we just talked about. They faced some of the best pitching in the MLB their last three games.
Cardinals up 4-0, top of the third. Will Stevens pick. Still rolling on.
Okay, it's only the third inning.
Yep.
But they just saw some of the best pitching in the MLB. I think they're going to come out hot and beat the Brewers in this first game of the series.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Those are our baseball picks. Folky.
Hey, bud.
Would you please read them back to me once you get finished writing them down?
Sure, just got a few more letters to go.
No worries at all, man. Just go ahead and write those letters down.
I can do it.
There we go.
I don't remember whatever I picked.
I want Folky to do it.
Okay.
In the first game.
Don't you dare try to take a duty from Folky again. What are you doing?
He's got it.
He shows up.
You're
late.
Interrupting him.
All
right
he
now.
Does is get to press buttons on the board. At least let him have some mic time. Let him talk.
He's talking.
Go ahead, Folky. I'm sorry about him.
The Rays and the Royals.
All right, you probably should have done it. He sucks at this.
Adam and Will, you guys said the Royals. Me and Tucker said the Rays. And the Rays are going to win that game.
Correct.
So you guys would be wrong on that one.
1-0.
The next game, Angels and Rangers. Adam and Will said the Rangers, which is the wrong answer. Me and Tucker said the Angels, which is the correct answer.
Correct.
So far, we're
100%.
Uh-huh.
Then we all agreed on the Dodgers.
Yep, Dodgers are beating
the Rangers. He tried to figure out a way to insult us while talking about that. There was no way. You're not quick enough, Folky.
You guys followed us.
Brain's too slow, man. Just
no,
keep
actually, we both picked Dodgers, so I forgot for a minute who they were playing.
Fair enough.
I had to go back to the actual scoreboard.
They're playing the Mariners.
Yes, we both said Dodgers. Then the last game is the Brew Crew against the Padres. You guys said... Milwaukee.
Please don't say the Brew Crew again.
Brew Crew. And we said the Padres.
And they are who is going to win.
That is correct. Musgrove is 2-1 with a 0.47 ERA.
I can't wait.
Now, are there any repercussions of this, or are we going to put the repercussions to the rest of the week picks?
So, yeah, this is a little teaser. We're gonna
just
see.
Just to see who
preliminary.
Is better.
Preliminary, yep.
Now, if me and Adam win this, are y'all going to accept the challenge of the rest of the week after I establish my dominance with this?
If you somehow scrape together a miraculous victory,
you're just going to use the excuse of Adam did most of the picks is probably what's going to happen if I win this, right?
We'll see. We'll see how I spin it.
Right, Folky?
Yes.
But, I will be messaging in the overtime group message all tonight. While watching these games. I'm very excited for it.
Fair enough.
Give me something to do tonight.
Birthday's next. Don't go anywhere.
Yep.
It's time for the birthday game. It's time for the birthday game. It's time for the birthday game. Adam Hickman, have you ever played the birthday game before?
Yeah, because it was...
Yes, he has.
Yeah. The other night I sat in with you guys a couple of months ago. We did birthdays.
Yeah.
Fair enough. It's a tradition unlike any other people. They're born. They come into this world as a baby, and then they become famous, and then they become the famousbirthdays.com website, and then we talk about them because we care that they were born. And today, this person, I think a lot of us care a lot about, April 18th, 1979. I don't know if we care a lot about this person, but we've definitely seen their face and their last name plastered all over the world. Los Angeles, California, 42 years old, the oldest sister in this family group that gained fame through their family's reality television
Kardashian.
Show.
Khloe Kardashian.
The oldest sister. Who is the
Kim
oldest
Kardashian.
Sister?
Courtney.
There you go. It was only one other sister. Yeah, you I named couldn't. The two youngest. Good work, guys.
I kept trying to say like the Jenners in my head. I said Kendall and Kylie, and I was like, nope, nope, nope. I couldn't pull Courtney.
April 18th, 1996, rapper from Florida. No city name, just Florida.
Kodak Black.
25 years old, rapper known for forming members only very rare music group. He became popular as a solo artist for his hit single New World Order with rappers Lil Peep and Lil Tracy. He was also on the first day list of Rolling Loud that I read out loud earlier. He originated from SoundCloud as a solo artist in 2015. Top hits such as Kate Moss, I Like Bricks have racked over a million views. And growing on SoundCloud.
Okay, I've never heard of this person.
Yeah, this is not my music.
This was a very topical thing this year, in the year 2020, just not this type of thing. What you would wear if you were going maybe to Uber, or maybe if you were robbing
Ski
a bank.
Ski Mask the Slump God.
It is Ski Mask the Slump God. Mask were pretty topical.
Yeah, you seem a little confused about that.
I won't stretch it to the next rapper.
I don't think he has ever heard Ski Mask. Yeah, Ski Mask is the first one. We're scraping the barrel there with that category.
Yeah, the next one, I'll just go ahead and say it because I don't know if y'all would be able to guess it. Do you know Aminé?
No.
The rapper?
Aminé?
Maybe that's how you read it. I've never heard it.
Is it A-M?
No, it's Aminé. Okay,
is that the is that Caroline fella?
Yeah, Caroline.
That's Aminé.
No, it's it might be pronounced differently than anime, but it's spelled Aminé.
Never heard it.
It's spelled A-M-I-N-E with a little thing over the E. I'm looking at it right now. Aminé.
Rappers... Oh, he's right. He's right. I have dyslexia and mixed up the M's.
Okay, I was about to say, I'm not going crazy, but okay.
April 18th, 1953, Toronto, Canada. 68 years old, Canadian actor and writer who became known for his roles in such classic films as Ghostbusters, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, and he also had roles in Spaceballs, Little Shop Horrors, and The Flintstones.
Martin Short?
Martin Short. He got punched in the face recently, knocked out. Caught by a security camera, went pretty viral. R.M.
Is he the guy who retired from film? No?
Okay. Maybe.
Okay.
I haven't seen him in a lot of things, but okay. I don't know if he retired or just stopped getting cast. Gotcha. R.M. Anybody? Going once?
Yeah, it's the guy who going retired twice. To spend time with his family.
He got punched in the face on CCTV, basically, on the little security camera. That would be one.
Rick Moranis?
Rick Moranis. Good pull.
Right at the buzzer.
Glad you said that one, because I was about to give the name away.
He retired from acting for his family or whatever.
I figured maybe, but I didn't.
It wasn't because he stopped getting stuff.
Yeah. April 18th, 1947, Utah, 74 years old, movie actor. You don't know this dude mainly from his movies, but you know him from a TV show, and I'll get to that in a second. Actor whose film credits include The Onion Field, Casino, Any Given Sunday, Cop, Scary Movie 2, and Salvador, but you really know him from Family Guy. Main character in Family Guy, a guy who's always kind of getting into things.
I missed the age, to be honest with you.
74. Movie actor.
Patrick Stewart.
J.W.
James Woods.
James Woods is correct. James Wood High. Great character in Family Guy. One of my favorite characters in Family Guy.
Boom.
April 18th, 1963, Brookline, Massachusetts. 58 years old. Humorous talk show host known for hosting the Late Night Show, Late Night from
Seth
1993
Myers.
To 2009. Then he became the host of The Tonight Show with his name for a year before becoming the host of this show on TBS in 2010.
Conan O'Brien.
Conan O'Brien is correct.
Mm. Wow.
Feeling it today, fellas. Feeling it.
You got a score over there, Folky?
Yes. Tucker has 4. Adam has 1, and I have 0.
I just wanted to confirm that he was indeed feeling it. April 18th, 1983, Venezuela, 38 years old, star MLB first baseman and third baseman who won the American League Triple Crown in 2012 as a member of this team. He was also named the AL MVP back-to-back years with this team in 2012 and 2013.
It's the Indians.
No, it's the Tigers.
The Tigers. Miguel Cabrera.
Miguel Cabrera. That's why I waited to say the Tigers. Basketball players?
Who was I thinking of?
No idea.
I think I was... I don't know.
Who played?
Santana.
Yeah.
That's who I was thinking of.
Yeah.
Not
it's,
him.
It's Blake Griffin's brother's birthday. Shut up. Blake Griffin?
You don't know.
Brick Griffin.
You've already got a kid in the NBA, or, you know, looking like he might go to the NBA. You don't name the second kid Brick.
No. His name, it's Taylor Griffin. I can't read.
I just knew that one was not right. That's a basketball family.
I'm trying to find some more on here.
Hmm.
Pretty good birthdays for Sunday. I might have to go to today's, but hopefully not. Oh, here we go. I don't have to. April 19th. Oh, my bad. This is today's. April 19th, 1978, Palo Alto, California, 43 years old today. Movie actor, filmmaker, author, and professor. Didn't know he was a professor.
Matthew McConaughey.
Who won? No, it's not Matthew McConaughey. Good pull, though. I'm glad you got it off, Professor. Knew Adam, he was a professor, okay. Not this dude, who won a Golden Globe Award for Best Actor for his roles in James Dean and The Disaster Artist, his roles in the Spider-Man James trilogy. Franco. It is James Franco.
Yep.
Good pull.
He plays old, what is his name?
Come on, man. The Room. I did not hit her! Yeah,
Wiseau.
Tommy Wiseau.
Yeah.
Tommy Wiseau. I love Tommy Wiseau so much.
Tommy.
He's a fantastic filmmaker.
Really people still good. Don't know where he's from or anything about him at all. He's one of my favorite guys just because he is so mysterious.
He's an enigma.
It's a terrible thing to say about somebody.
Why?
Is that not a bad thing?
No. Being an enigma is something that you just can't figure out.
Okay.
You can't figure out Tommy Wiseau.
Maybe I'm thinking of enema.
Yeah, no. No. Yeah, he is not an enema.
April 19th.
That is a different thing.
1981, Garden Grove, California, 40 years old today, college All-American at USC, who was named the NFL's Defensive Player of the Year in 2010 with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Troy Polamalu.
It is Troy Polamalu. Good pull, Folky.
Mm. Thanks, pal.
No problem, man. Proud of you.
Thanks, bud.
You do good work.
Oh, thanks, bud.
Okay, stop saying thanks, bud. I'm not your bud.
All right, pal.
No problem, bro.
April 19th, 1968, Los Angeles, California. Movie actress, 53 years old today. A little bit of a stretch, but let's see if you can get this last one. Actress known for her roles in many successful films, including High Crimes, Divergent, and Insurgent. Her roles in Double Jeopardy earned her a Blockbuster Entertainment Award for Favorite
Jodie
Actress.
Foster.
AJ. She's a Kentucky fan.
It ain't Angelina Jolie.
Nope. Vocal advocate for plus size women.
I really keep up with those.
They're not hard to keep up with.
But yeah,
Oh, we want Ashley Judd.
Ashley Judd.
Woo. Ashley Judd. I just did that
Happy
because
birthday.
People don't like
Happy
her.
Happy birthday,
people don't like her on Twitter.
Right.
We'll see you tomorrow.
All right. We love you guys.
Thank you, Adam.